Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering
message.
Well,
I thank you because you are touching every life with your hands today.
Thank you, Lord.
We have not come just for another service.
Oh, yes.
We have come to experience you in a new way. Holy Spirit of the Lord, we love you.
We love you, Lord.
We acknowledge you.
Amen.
We reverence you.
Oh, yes.
We thank you because our life shall be impacted.
Amen.
You will speak to us in a way that we shall understand.
Amen.
You will meet everyone at the point of their need.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Face your neighbor and say, expect a miracle.
Expect a miracle.
Tell at least three people, say, expect a miracle today.
Expect a miracle.
Hallelujah. You may please be seated. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
All right. A quick announcement. I want to welcome you all to today's service. And I know those of you who are joining online that you will also be blessed by the power of God. Your life will not be the same. You will be glad you joined this service. Hallelujah. Now, in order to avoid distraction, I actually had to inform our team that, you know, oftentimes when it is time to preach, you see so many people walking around. And in fact, at some stage, I hear that some will even stay under the canopy, gisting, talking, eating when the service is going on. And some, maybe in the guise of trying to breastfeed, will take advantage of where we have the tent and just be there. And, you know, there needs to be orderliness. So unless there's an overflow, no more space on the inside, all right, that place is actually meant for overflow and to attend to our guests. And we must ensure that our guests have a good experience, all right? So hence the reason why you see, for instance, that the chairs have been mounted, and I said to them that ensure that nobody is outside unless the people that are officiating, that are on duty, all right? And those of you who love to breastfeed, I've also asked them to provide a conducive place for you. And when you are done, all right, you then come back inside. And I also hear that, you know, like our children's church where we wrote John 1:1 is exclusively for children. So I guess some will go into that place and sit down there and be watching TV when the service is going on. It's been happening. And that is why that place is forbidden. So, and if you're going to enter there, please don't enter there with your shoe. And if you're going to give something to your child, please give it to the coordinator there and they will take it in for your child. Because you see, the reason why that place is specially rugged and taken care of is that, like I said the other time, when things fall down in the hands of children, they do pick it and they will put it in their mouth. And we don't want a child coming to church and after church, the child is going to stool, having diarrhea. No. So we want the hygiene to be kept as much as possible. So that is why we have put all these measures in place, because we don't want our children becoming sick because they came to church. So I want to encourage you, all right, please adhere to this. So when they see anybody moving around and you are not an officiating minister or worker, they will have to usher you inside that, please be seated, we do not want movement. All right, it distracts me as a person. It doesn't make me concentrate fully. I hope this is clear. All right, so Pastor Joe, we always, you see him moving around. I've put him in charge to ensure that, you know, there is strict adherence to this. You know, even sometimes our choristers are saying, that's why we have to ensure that even choristers, please be seated, unless you are helping with, you know, maybe like the children's church and the rest. But if not, please be seated. And that is very, very important that we adhere to that instruction. It's going to be great. Amen.
Amen.
And now some of you observe that Lady P is not here. All right, and you are wondering, she's actually gone to London, all right? And she just went with the children. You don't believe that Lady P can go to London? Why are you like that? All right. Yes, you will be there in Jesus' name. So Lady P has resumed her mission post. She's gone now back to the mission. So she's joined the command team to go on in the pastoral work. All right. From there, because in the next, you know, by God's grace, you know, as we are transitioning from here, we are not a static church. We are a church planting movement. And there is no CC in the army of God. All right. In the army, both male and female do what they have to do. And because you are a female does not mean that you should not do the work of God. All right. So, of course, she will be here, you know, Tuesday she's here. She will even be here later for the workers' assessment that we are doing. And where's Best M? All right. Okay, please. I think I'm not seeing her. I want her to be seated. All right. So she will be here again, you know, on Tuesday she's here. Women's Day. So it doesn't disturb what she's doing. But Lady P is gifted. And when you see Lady P preaching, you know that she's a gifted teacher. All right? Her points are very cogent. And she drops those wisdom nuggets. So she's too gifted to just be sitting down on Sunday and be hearing me. She has to, when she even posting sometime on YouTube, her own get more traction than mine. And I'm not insecure by that, you understand? You know, so I told her, I said, no, I can't put a gifted woman like you. The last time she just posted one of her videos on YouTube, I think recently, I saw within a day or two, she has gotten so many views. I said, and you mean you'll be sitting down every Sunday just watching and listening to me? No, we have to create more avenue for her to always churn out more content, more word, you know? And empower our ministry so that she can flourish more. Amen. So I don't believe that my wife is a housewife. She's a minister of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe God is using so many women for the ministry. Shout a louder amen. All right. Now, after today's service, I want you to take our time to read Psalm 78. Psalm 78 happens to be the story of the children of Israel, a summary of their relationship with God. And Psalm 78 is such that when you read it, you will feel for them because it still reflects the story of some believers today. Is somebody with me? It tells us how, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and every time they are confronted with challenges, with a need, with the circumstances, the way they react in a manner that does not please God. And, you know, God was wondering, have you forgotten that I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt? I did 10 different miracles in Egypt. And yet, every time you are confronted with a situation, with a need, there's a challenge in your life, you react as though there is no God in your life. So in verse 8 of Psalm 78, lots of verse 7, and the Living Bible, all right, have something to say. Psalm 78, verse 7. The Bible says, in this way, the Living Bible, thank you. In this way, each generation has been able to obey its laws and to set its heart and to set its hope anew on God and not forget his glorious miracles. You know, today I'm preaching on bringing forth a miracle. Or bringing forth miracles. Now verse 8 then says, thus they did not need to be as their fathers. Now referring to the children of Israel. As their fathers were stubborn. So thus they did not need to be as their fathers were stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. The Bible calls them a stubborn generation, a rebellious people. What was it that made them stubborn? Their unbelief. What was it that made them rebellious? Their faithlessness in the God of miracles. They were always thinking too small. And you cannot hang around God and be thinking small. You cannot hang around God and be thinking small. You wondered, why is it that you are a Christian but things are not going the way it ought to go? Check your thought pattern. You are thinking too small. Because you see, every time they get to the junction where there is a major need in their life, they were not expecting a miracle. They were a people who were used to, even though they kept seeing a miracle, the way they handle or react in every junction, at every junction of their life, is that they don't expect a miracle. And that is a small mentality. That is a scarcity mentality. That is a poverty mentality. That is a mentality that cannot experience the move of God. So look at what the Bible then says, that action deed. In verse 41 of Psalm 78, the Bible says, again and again, they turned away and tempted God to kill them. And limited the Holy One of Israel from giving them his blessings. There is a, you know, God is unlimited, right? He's omnipotent. He's great. He's mighty. But yet the Bible says there is a mindset that limits God. Is it not amazing that the unlimited God can be limited by a man's thinking? Why? They don't expect a miracle. I want you to know that miracle will happen to those who expect it. And anytime you find yourself going through life not expecting a miracle, you are limiting God in your life. You read it? And they limited the only one of Israel from giving them what? From giving them what? Simple. How are you? What kind of Christian are you? You know, sometimes when they got to the place where there was a need for water, go and read Psalm 78. The Bible said, instead of them to remember how God had brought them to that point, how he killed the children of Egypt, how he turned the water to blood, how he brought flies, frogs. The Bible said they began to murmur. They forgot the miracle. And thereby, they limited God. Whenever you are not expecting a miracle, you are limiting God in your life. You see, let me say this. There is nothing like a challenge-free life. There will never be a time in your life that you will not be going through one form of challenge or the other. Unless you are dead. But if you are alive, as you come out from one, there will be another. Don't you realize that even in the world, a songwriter says, the more money we come along, the more problem we see. Because the guy thought that more money will solve his problem. But he realized that the more money he has, the bigger the problem. And it's like money will never be enough. You see, it's not more money you need, it's more miracles. You must begin to walk with a mentality that is always expecting God to give you a miracle. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the magnitude of the circumstances, regardless of how big or how gigantic the situation may be. Ask your neighbor, expect a miracle? Or are you expecting a miracle today? Whenever you are confronted with a need, you look into your bank account, it's not enough. You look into your wallet, the money is not there. You look into everything and you see that what you can see is that there is no human possibility for this thing to be solved. Then what you need to do, instead of entering into a season of despair, tell yourself, it is time for a miracle. It's time for a miracle. Why was it that every time God solves a problem, another one comes to face them? Because God is not tired of giving you a miracle. The reason why you will always be faced with a challenge is because God wants to give you a miracle. Not because he wants to disgrace you. You are too precious to him to be disgraced. It's because he loves to glorify his name in your life. But unfortunately, when we are faced with difficult situation, instead of us to lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for another season of miracle, do you know what we do? We worry. We throw in the towel. And we don't look up to the Holy One of Israel for a miracle. And do you know what the Bible then says? We begin to limit God. Are you limiting God? What is a miracle? Let me just define what a miracle is. A miracle is a supernatural event or an occurrence. And when we talk about supernatural, is a combination of two syllables, super, then natural. When you hear Superman, and super means above. Above. A Superman means that he's above man. That's how he can fly when other man cannot fly. Other men cannot fly. The word super means above. So, in other words, supernatural means above natural. So, a miracle is an occurrence in your life or an event that cannot be explained by natural laws. It's above the natural. And that is what the Bible called Jesus, a miracle worker. You know, when you look into Acts chapter 2 verse 22, the Passion Translation, Acts chapter 2 verse 22, the Bible says, Peter continued, people of Israel, listen to the fact. Jesus, the victorious, was a man on a divine mission whose authority was clearly proven. For you know how God performed what? Many powerful miracles, signs, and wonders through him. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 then says, he is the same yesterday, today, and what? So, if Jesus was on a mission to do miracle, and he did miracle, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, why are you not expecting a miracle? You serve a miracle working God. He's on a mission to always give you a miracle every day. When you wake up every morning, expect a miracle. When you open your eyes in the morning, say, thank God, Father, I'm expecting a miracle today. It's a miracle working God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. A miracle has different dimensions. When we talk about the word disease, for instance, because in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all day that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, what is healing? Healing is a miracle that deals with infirmity and sicknesses. Healing is a miracle. But healing is a type of miracle that is channeled at handling sicknesses, diseases, infirmity in the life of an individual.
But when you look at the word disease, the way we pronounce it today, is you will easily lose the essence of the meaning. Because disease is made up of two words. D-I-S, then E-A-S-E. This is. So the word this, for instance, is you have it in disability. Disability. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So this is. It means anything that makes you uneasy. That which causes uneasiness in your life. In other words, it comes to remove. Just like you have disabled, it removes ability. It's, this means minus. Minus. That's the Latin word, like minus, remove. D-I-S, remove. So where there is ability, when I put disability, it means that ability has been what? Removed. Now when I say disease, it means that easiness has been what? Removed. So whenever you have a situation that is causing tension, causing apprehension, discomfort in your life, causing uneasiness, that is a disease. Are you with me? So disease does not just produce sickness. Disease can affect your finances. There can be a diseased marriage. There can be a diseased home. There can be a disease, what else? Situation in every area. Emotional. Now, it means God can bring healing to your finances. God can bring healing to your marriage. God can bring healing to your emotions because it is causing uneasiness. So disease, this is whatever removes easiness from your life is a disease. And I have a good news. The good news is wherever there is a disease, there's a God of miracle. Wherever there is a need, there's a God of provision. And today, my God is showing forth in your life.
Amen.
I said, today, my God is showing forth in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we are going to go to Luke chapter 5. And I will read from the Passion Translation. How do you bring forth a miracle? Maybe some of us today, we are faced with financial disease. There's an uneasiness in your finances. Maybe your marriage is not working. Maybe your career is not working. Maybe you are struggling. How do you bring forth a miracle? You must know how to bring forth a miracle in every situation. Because we serve a God of miracle. So we are going to use this case study from Luke chapter 5. I will read from the Passion Translation. And we'll quickly run through from verse 1 to 10. Then I will just begin to explain. So on one occasion, verse 1, Jesus was preaching to a crowd on the shore of Lake Galilee. And a vast multitude was pushing to get close to Jesus to hear the word of God. Verse 2, he noticed two fishing boats. How many fishing boats? So we can call these the tale of two boats. Or the tale of two fishing boats. He noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge, with the fishermen nearby rinsing their nets. Verse 3. Jesus climbed into the boat belonging to Simon Peter, which is one of the boats, and said to him, let me use your boat. Push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowd. Verse 5. Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished, underline the word when he had finished, not before he finished. When he had finished, he said to Peter, now row out to the deep water to cast your net and you will have a great catch. Not a small catch, but a what? A great catch. Verse 5. Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and didn't catch a thing. All night, didn't catch a thing. If you insist, we will go out again and let down our net because of your word. Now underline the word, because of your word. KJV said, nevertheless, at thy word. Good. Verse 6. When they pulled up their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish. God is going to give you a shocking miracle. Oh, somebody, you are not hearing me. I said, God is going to give you a shocking miracle. They were shocked. Say, what a shock. Do you see why we say, what a shock in church? Said they were what? Shocked. I said, this week, God is going to shock you. Every day, expect God to shock you. And God is going to shock you with a miracle. In the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, God is going to shock you with a miracle. No, don't be afraid to look into your neighbor and say, God is going to shock you with a miracle. Hallelujah. They were shocked to see a huge catch of fish. And their nets were ready to burst. We are going to get there. Ready to burst. The same net that was empty is now having a ready to burst. The same you that were saying you don't have more than 1,000. You are now having a ready to burst financial statement. In your bank account, I prophesy, your bank statement will be ready to burst. I say your bank statement will be ready to burst. I don't know. This is your year ready to burst. God is giving you a ready to burst miracle. You came here with empty money, empty statement, empty bank account, but God is giving you a ready to burst miracle. You are owing, but God is going to bless you in such a way that you will be the one that will be borrowing people money. I'm not saying next year, but within this quarter. Within the next 3 months, God is going to do it for you. Some of you never know that you can buy property. Because right now, even what you have, you are struggling to eat. But I am declaring to you as a servant of God, that God is going to bust your bank account. He's going to give you a miracle. He's going to give you a miracle. Say, I receive it. Within the next 3 months, I am prophesying. We will bless 3 properties in this place. You will bring your car to be dedicated. That visa will come to pass. That circumstances will turn around for good. If you are the one, say, I claim it. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Mantara kata baba, bringing forth a miracle. Wow. Verse, what are we? Verse 6. When they pulled up their net, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish, and their net were ready to burst. Verse 7. They waved to their business partner, the one whose boat was still empty. I told you that you will borrow people money this year. You don't believe it?
Believe.
Are you expecting a miracle? You came here needing, but this year people will call you. You even have enough to borrow people.
Believe.
You will be so blessed that you borrow people 500,000.
Believe.
You borrow people 1,000,000 this year.
Believe.
I declare, last year, when last year was going, I saw an account with 53 naira. That was the thing you cross into this year. But listen to me. Before December, you will be so blessed. You will be so blessed. You will be so blessed. You know, it was an OP account I just saw. And I just saw 553 there. It shows that that account was empty when you were entering into 2024. But I am prophesying to you that this is your year of abundance. It's your year of abundance. It's your season of abundance. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Who is that person? Come, I want to pray for you. Mantoria pakata libarando kosh kataba. Come, I want to pray for you. Shele baba.
I told you as I was praying, I just saw it. Mandali kubara ponda sekete. Father, lift your hands. Peter was once called broke. and in less than 24 hours, you turn things around. As I lay my hands on these ones, I declare, this very year, they enter into a season of turnaround. As I play these hands on you, you are receiving a miracle. It will be a supernatural thing in your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Shout, Jesus, I expect a miracle. Go back to your seat. It's done. Oh, it is done. I tell you. It is done. I tell you. I tell you. I tell you, he's still in the business of giving a miracle. They wave to their business partners in the other boat for help. You are the one seeking for help, but you become the helpers of men. I said, God is causing you to become the helpers of men. People will call you, please help me, and you will render it to them. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until they began to sink. Now, listen to me. Poverty was what was sinking them before. Now, abundance is now sinking them. The kind of miracle that will embarrass you in this quarter, God will give it to you. Marabataya. I said the kind of miracle that will embarrass you in this quarter, God will give it to you. Amen. Receive it in the name of Jesus. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, do you see what was that? Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, that means it was a miracle, a supernatural event. It was above natural. That someone who was so broke can become so rich in less than 3 hours. How can you explain that? So, you know, Peter realized that what has just happened cannot be explained by natural order. No natural laws can explain this. Peter realized that what has just taken place can only be the hand of God. I am also prophesying that the hand of God will be evident in your life this season. This is quarter two of 2024. I'm declaring that the hand of God will be evident in your life. Amen. Go away from me, master, for I am a sinful man. Verse 9. Simon Peter and the other fishermen, including his fishing partners, Jacob and John, the sons of Zebedee, were awestruck over the miracle catch of fish. Do you see miracle catch of fish? Now, do you see why I explain the miracle? It can be a miracle healing. It can be a miracle catch of financial provision. It can be a miracle job, miracle marriage. But I am declaring God is giving you a miracle this season. Oh, I declare every area you need the supernatural to take place, God is giving it to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's quickly do some exegesis here. The first thing you will realize was that the Bible, when we go back to verse 1, so let's go back to verse 1. So on this occasion, Jesus was preaching to a crowd on the shore of Lake Galilee. A vast multitude of people was pushing to get close to Jesus to hear the word. Then verse 2 then says, he noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge with the fishermen nearby rinsing their nets. The first lesson that you will see here, rinsing the net was focusing on the problem. They fished all night. They came to the shore. They saw Jesus preaching to the crowd. But they were so engrossed with their problem that until Jesus came to Peter, Peter did not even participate in that service. Do you know that there are some situations that you can be in the service like this, but you are worried? Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is somebody like that here. There is somebody like that here. You are here, but your mind is not here. There is a troubling situation around you right now as you are in this service. You came to church, you know, as I mentioned that word, You know, I just heard the word that there is somebody who is going through a situation right now in this place that is bothering the person. Who is that person? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. It's bothering you. You are not concentrating. Come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mantara baba baba. Mandoro potos keta baba. So many of you. Then if you're, man, well, I believe that God is in the, you see, it's something, see, listen to me. I know that a lot of people have issues. I don't want to make God feel big. He's big. He doesn't need our assistance. The people I'm asking for is that as I was preaching and I mentioned that thing, that they focused on the problem. You are in this service. Don't deceive God. But you, maybe before now, because God is going to give everybody a miracle. But don't lie. Because this is a word of knowledge from God. You the thing is so pressing on you that as you are, yeah, now when I said it, that was what you were thinking about. Those are the people I need to be there. If it's not applicable to go to a back place. That's what you are thinking about. It's something that is bothering you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Lift up your hands. Now I want to say, Lord, I cast it unto you right now. I'm expecting a miracle. So, Lord, give me a miracle. Now, pray about it right now. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I am casting this issue over to you right now. And I'm expecting a miracle. I am expecting a miracle. Give me a miracle. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as I lay my hands on these ones, every issue bothering their life, I cast it to the cross. Give them a miracle today, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, let them receive a miracle now. Step into that situation. Amen. Receive your miracle. Amen. Receive your miracle.
Amen.
Receive a miracle.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive a miracle.
Amen.
Once I lay hands on you, go back to you and say, receive a miracle.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, receive
Amen.
A miracle.
Amen.
God, give them a miracle.
Amen.
Receive a miracle.
Amen.
Receive a miracle.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Receive a miracle now. Thank you, Jesus, for Amen. A miracle. Thank you for a miracle.
Yes.
Thank you for a miracle.
Oh, yes,
I call it done.
Oh, yes.
I call it done.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Put your hand together for Jesus. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. How many of you know the presence of God is here? Oh, Rabwanda Kazata, Likondo Rapaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They were washing their nets when Jesus was already there at the shore, the one who could meet their need. You see, there are problems in life that will want to take your attention away from Jesus. Jesus was at the shore. Do you remember that the Bible said that he was preaching? And yet, these guys going through a difficult season were focusing on what? Their nets. Their nets. They were focusing on their nets. And that is what the devil wants. You see, those who focus on their problem don't get a miracle. The first step to bringing forth a miracle is focus on God. Whatever you focus on becomes bigger. When your focus is on the problem gets bigger. But when your focus is on God, the problem gets smaller. Don't you realize, how many of you have gone to a very tall building before? You've been to a tall building, maybe like 6-story building, 7-story building. How many of you have been there before? You've been there before. Do you realize that the higher you go, the smaller the world becomes? The higher you go and look down from that angle, the smaller, even the tallest person becomes like normal before your eyes. Do you realize that the higher you go, you don't even see height anymore? When you are high there, you don't see a giant. You only see people. You see, when you operate at the level of natural, you will only see a big problem. But when you operate from the angle of God, everything becomes small to you.
Yes.
The first step to birth a miracle is focus on God and not the problem. They saw Goliath, but David saw God. When they looked at Goliath, they ran. But the one who saw God ran towards Goliath. For 40 days, Goliath terrorized them because they called him a giant. But David, who dwelt in the secret place, did not see a giant. Why? Because everything gets smaller when you focus on God. You are in need of money. They call the figure 500,000, 1 million. Is that it? God does not see the zero. God does see a need. You are the one that sees figure. 1 million is the same thing as one naira before God. God does not see the size. He only sees a problem. But you are afraid and you have forgotten that the same God who provided 1 naira is the same God that will provide 1 million. No matter the zeros, God does not see the size. God just sees a need. A need is a need before God. Regardless of the size, God will always meet the need. God cannot be intimidated by the size of the need. And let me shock you by saying this. God will never allow a need that cannot be solved to ever come to you. You didn't get that. Let me speak this first. I am saying God will never allow a need that can never be solved to come to you. Every need, because the Bible says, it will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Every need that is before you today is because it can be solved by God. Is somebody with... Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should close the service. I think we should close the service. Are you with me? Don't be intimidated by the figure. A need is a need. And God says, I will supply all your need. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So whenever you are faced with a difficult situation, the first step to birthing the miracle is that don't focus on it. Because you will have, when you focus on the number, you will not be able to understand that the same God that dealt with 1 naira, dealt with 10 naira, dealt with 100 naira, dealt with 1,000, dealt with 10,000, dealt with 100,000, is still the same God that will deal with 1 million. Because it's just a miracle working God.
Yes.
Is somebody with me this morning?
Yes.
Focus on God. Focus on God. Doctor says something about the thing. Remember what healing is? Healing is a miracle that deals with sickness and infirmity. So if now it's a sickness, but God provided a job for you, a miracle job. Now, the same God that provided a miracle job is the same one that will give you a miracle healing. It's the same God. A miracle is simply a supernatural occurrence. That which is above natural. God gave you a miracle child. Is it now God that will not give you a miracle money? It's a miracle. Expect a miracle. Is somebody with me? Are you expecting a miracle today? Whenever the thing is becoming difficult, say, Lord, I thank you for another season of miracle.
Amen.
Embarrass every Goliath with thanksgiving. They say, you have 2 days to go and you don't have the money. What should you do? Say, I'm expecting a miracle.
Yes,
they ask you, hey, how are you going to pay the bills? I know I don't have the money, but I'm expecting what? Oh, are you going? One day to go. The thing will close if you don't pay. You don't have the money. What should you say to yourself? Every morning when you wake up, what should you expect? When you are going to bed, what should you expect? Those who expect a miracle always get one. Those who expect a miracle always get, always, always. Because the Bible says the expectation of the righteous. You know, our sister at the back, you know, gave a testimony one time. I don't know whether you want to. I know she's very shy, but you know, she says, you know, she was in need. I've forgotten your testimony. Can you let me give the mic to her, because she's there. Some people do that doesn't like to come to me, but I want to corroborate what I'm saying. She said she was in need, and it was in the night, and she was about to go to bed. You see, you are seeing night, and you see day, but do you know that there is no night and day before God? Listen to me. That's why some of you, when you are going to bed, you don't expect a miracle. I want you to know that before God, there is only one season. It's called day. There is no night or day. If there is night or day, then Bible will not say that he neither sleep nor slumber. He doesn't sleep because your day here is night in China. Night in China is day in Australia. And they are all calling upon God. So there is no day or night before God. God only has a day. So wherever the season, even when it is 11 o'clock, he can give you a miracle. Glory! Glory! Somebody shout glory! I told you last Sunday in his temple, people shout what? Glory! Don't be afraid of time. There is no time with God. It's 12 o'clock and everybody's asleep. If it means angel dropping it in your roof, it will do it. God is not bound by time. Time is in the realm of men. So why are you afraid? They said that by 9 o'clock, if it doesn't happen, now it's 8 o'clock. God does not see 9 o'clock. Do you know that most people don't expect a miracle when they are sleeping? You are sleeping, but God does not sleep. Tonight, as you go to bed, before you wake up, there will be a miracle waiting for you. If you believe it, say, I claim that one. I said, tonight, before you wake up tomorrow, God is going to do a miracle over the night. Hey! I want your faith to get to that level that there will be miracle 24/7 for you. You know, I just remember that testimony. It was in the night or so. I said, Lord, you know, please, man, please help me with your testimony. That one of the financial, the one, the lady that called, that just saw, you saw the alert. What really happened, ma?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
What happened was that I was in need of something. That there is something very urgent for me to do.
Okay.
But there was no hope. I'm not hoping that something will come from anywhere. I was just like, God, tomorrow is the D-Day. Let your will be done. That was my statement before I went to bed. So, luckily, midnight, when I just woke up, I said, let me check my phone. Only to see an alert from someone that I never expected that had.
No. Now, how many of you realize that this testimony is very common in our midst now? From somewhere. So, because you see, you don't need to know how. God has a million ways of solving your problem. I said, God has more than a million ways of solving that problem. So that he came through this way today does not mean that he's going to come. You know, the other day, they closed the door because they were afraid. Jesus said, hey, you people have closed the door. I will show you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He walked through the door. He walked through the wall. Even when you close your door, God can still come to you. He said, she just said it. And she went to go and sleep. Whenever something is making you not to sleep, is because that thing has turned you to your own God. Whatever is causing you not to sleep, any situation that is bothering you, that is causing, taking away your sleep, has turned you to a God. And idolatry is a sin. Thank you. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
They were washing their nets. I am saying to you now, you go everywhere now, you are no longer smiling. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine.
Is everything up? Okay?
Yes.
Are you all right?
I'm okay.
Then the people will start telling you. There's a problem when people tell you that you don't look okay. There's a problem. I said, there's a problem when people look at you and say, you don't look okay. Whenever you don't look okay, you are not okay. And when you are not okay, things cannot be okay. Things only get okay for those who are okay. And an unokay person cannot give birth to okay results. Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. Everybody man looks at you and they can say something is wrong with you. It's because you are focusing on your problem. Some of you even think that your sadness can solve a problem. So now, whatever, you are no longer smiling. You feel that if you smile, the problem will get worse. So even your smile itself, you have now become broke with smile. You see some people that when there is a need, everybody will know. Good morning. Their wife will know. Their child will know. Even they themselves will know. When they are eating, they will bite their tongue. Everything we know. An okay person cannot give birth to okay results. Okay. Is somebody with me? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody laugh in the Holy Ghost. Oh! Hey! Glory to God. Glory to God. They send your child back to school.
Which kind of life it is? Lord, why me? Why me?
And the devil say, I have you where I need you. Your face is not okay. So things cannot be okay. Or those who frown like, they even frown more than bitter leaf. Very frown. You cannot, you know, I told somebody the other time, I think you need to go and watch a movie. Say, pastor, a person wait your belly for go watch movie. So, do you know what the devil will do? Since he knows that your problem keeps you from enjoying life, if the devil then wants to stop you from enjoying life, all he needs is to always send problem to you. Because he knows that you are the type of person that focus on your nets. So, in other words, so some of you here today, this year now, you have never even gone to a eatery and you are working. Say because of school fees, because of house rent, because of this. Eh? So the devil knows that you can never, as long as there's a problem, you cannot enjoy your marriage. So the devil asks you where he needs you. But there are, I'm not saying you should be careless or reckless. But there are some time you look at the need and say, give me a Fanta. And you are just, this bottle of Coke will not mean that this problem will not be solved. There are some time everything is still there. You say, you know what? Make we chop first. Because this food will not mean that at least the money for the food, it cannot even solve this problem. Let's chop. Let's take a stroll. Because God, and an okay person cannot give birth to okay result. So both of us need to be okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh my goodness, God. You need the right frame of mind. They were washing their net and Jesus was at the shore. Focusing on the net does not get solution. Looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the solution.
And some will say, because I'm not married now, so if a person won't marry, go the dress where.
Okay. Some women will even say, with all this bukatia, you know bukatia is a Yoruba word, bukata. With all this obligation, she'll be in a person when you can't say, make I go do my hair. So even your hair is even showing poverty. You will see the hair, they will not even comb the hair. If they comb the air, the air said, we say, no, are they poor? You are they poor? Are they poor? To even visit the hair salon, because you see, they have become a god unto themselves. They don't expect a miracle. So whatever they cannot solve remains unsolved. So when you see, I'm telling you, there are women who say because of the taking care of that. I'm not saying you should not be responsible. But you see, don't make yourself the God. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. How many of you are expecting a miracle today? Stand to your feet. My time is up. I think we will have part two next week. Is that okay?
Is that okay? We should have part two next week. But how many of you are expecting a miracle today? How many of you are ready to hand it over to Jesus? How many of you are expecting Jesus to touch your life today? Hey, some of you are going to leave here right now and you are just going to call your wife. Can we stroll together? Can we go to a restaurant together? Okay, can we go to a restaurant together? Some of you are going to watch a movie for the first time with your wife. So let's go and enjoy a movie. Because now we know that this problem is trying to take away the joy in this marriage. This problem is trying to take away the joy of this home. Some of you are going to go and by next Sunday you will come with somebody will say, what has happened to your hair? Your hair is now showing that the problem is even over. Because your hair will be so nice. Some of you are going to wear the best suit to church next Sunday. Because you know that God is your problem solver. Because you are expecting a miracle. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship God this morning. Ilabra conto legesha para batia ndereko zenda bila karabatenda shekwata tabele zampuliba. Thank you for a miracle. Thank you for a miracle. Regenda logoske karaba ebede bede 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 bede. Oh, Shelebata. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Job chapter 5, verse 8. Job chapter 5, verse 8. The friends of Job were talking to Job, and they said quite a number of things. But you know, in chapter 5, verse 8, can I have Job 5, 8 on the screen, please? It said, Job, not John. I know you love brother John, but not John. Job and John, they look alike. Okay. The book begins with J-O. I will seek unto God. And unto God will I commit my cause. Committing it to God is not something that happens without your knowledge. You have to be intentional. Then why did he say he will commit the matter to God? Verse 9 says, look at verse 9. Which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. When you commit it to God and you choose not to focus on it anymore, do you know what you are doing? You are expecting God to do what? Great things. This is one of my new memory verse every morning. This morning I've recited. When I wake up every morning now, this is what I looked at. I have a list of them. This is one of them. And I just recite them. I just recite them. I don't focus on the problem. I don't wash my net. I focus on this. I just meditate on it. I say, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. But I love the way Message Bible puts verse 9. Message Bible verse 9. Look at what it says. Message Bible verse 9. Message Bible. Look at how Message Bible puts it. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his what? As you go into this week, God is going to surprise you. Hey! I said God is going to surprise you.
Amen!
There is no end to his
surprise.
Somebody say surprise.
Surprise!
God is going to surprise me. Amen. You know, every morning I say, Lord, I thank you because you are going to surprise me. So now I want you to first repent. Say, Lord, in every way I've made you too small in my life. In any way I have been focusing on my nets.
focusing on the problem. In any way I become a God, the problem solver of my life. That whatever I cannot solve is not solved. Lord, have mercy on me. I repent today. Have mercy on me, Lord. Go ahead and just repent before God. Go ahead and repent before God. Go ahead and repent before God. Say, Lord, I repent today. I repent today. I repent today. Father, I repent today. I repent today.